Welcome, welcome. Welcome back. This is the Who Am I podcast. We are your hosts, Kevin Ren, King CJ. King, how you doing, my brother?
Wagwan, Mayut. Good to be back. Good to be back.
This is what we on. We already talked about this cultural appropriation that we're not going to do.
That's not the vibes all about us.
Nah, that's not the vibes today. Well, welcome in. Like I said, this is the Who Am I pod. We got a couple of topics to talk about today, obviously. We're going to talk about some music. We're going to talk about the things that's been going on in America lately. Obviously, if you're hiding under a rock, then we'll tell you all about it. If you haven't been, then you know exactly where we're headed. So, let's go ahead and get started. We start with some music. I'll go ahead and start if you don't mind, King.
Yeah.
We're going to start with IOU. This is a song by Charlie Heat. It is actually off an album called Valentine's Son, although I didn't listen to the entire album. This was kind of the highlight that I mentioned from it. Actually, King was the one to shout this one out. Really good song, only 3 minutes long. If you have the time, go ahead and listen to the whole album. I want to shout that out, but I'm not going to speak about that just right now. But yeah, it's a nice little R&B soul type of vibe. I've never really heard of Charlie Heat before. I don't know if I've actually heard any music from them before, but I did enjoy this one. So again, that's IOU with Charlie Heat.
Yeah, it's I'm sure you have. Like, he worked with Lil Uzi a lot. If you ever hear the tech, like, good work, Charlie. Like, he produced for Drum album back in the day. Like, yeah, like he has a lot of big hip hop tracks, but like, for him to put out an R&B album for the production side, it just showed like the diversity of it. And that song in particular, just like, yo, this is amazing. Cause I think Seven Streeter, right? Seven Streeter is just an underrated singer. Like, she's kind of like her in the sense where without the recognition, it's like she's just slowly, every time she drops, it's like, man, I like this song. Yeah. I like this song. Like, she can really sing. But whereas though her really gets the recognition, but may not have like the respect in our, like, the R&B community that maybe a Summer Walker has or somebody like the bigger names that have. Seven Streeter, she kind of has that respect amongst the R&B circle, but doesn't have the accolades to show for it. So I think this was just a perfect match with good production and Seven Streeter, and it was a good track.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I definitely did. All right, whatever you ready.
So this track I did enjoy, and I've actually been on this artist for a little bit, but it's ESTG with Lickback, and I'm very, very in tune with his music. Because, and this show you how powerful a cosign is. We shouted out Lil Baby when he was going on a tangent when he was on Drake Project, and then he released a track with ESTG, and it just seemed like Lil Baby was unmatchable, and that anybody getting on a song with him was kind of like, yeah, I came for Lil Baby. But he actually tweeted out that ESTG was the new Young Jeezy. And me being a Jeezy head, like growing up on Jeezy, I'm like, yo, that's a bold claim. So then I took a dive into his catalog, and that's all I've been listening to. With the exception of a few albums, like, I listen to his album every day. So when he dropped this track, Lickback, I was like, man, I'm really in tune with his music, and I'm glad Lil Baby, he drew that comparison. Because I think he's from Kentucky, but he does have that old school, like, Gucci, Jeezy, like, trap sound, like a pure trap sound. And this isn't any different, and it's a good, if you like that type of music or that sound of music, check out ESTG. But Lickback is a good track and a good addition to his discography.
And you got one more single too, don't you? Before we get to our album.
I actually got two more. But yeah. So the next one, I got Big Crit, Pick Up the Pace. It's been a while since Crit dropped, and I've been rooting for Crit, especially like Crit at one point was up there with like a J. Cole and Kendrick when they first started off. It's like, who's going to be that guy? And he kind of fell back. But I kind of, as far as talent, I will put him in the same lane as like a J. Cole. It's just he doesn't have that same ability to make like the hits. He does make quality albums, and I think his last few albums have been like up there with best albums of the year every time that he dropped. And now that he's independent, I'm really interested to see what his strategy is going to be, because he mentions it on the Pick Up the Pace, like labels want to sign him, but knowing what he just went through in the previous situation, it's going to take a lot of money for that to happen. So this was released independently, and I'm hoping that this is a sign of things to come with his album. But Big Crit never disappoints. This isn't anything spectacular, but it's just good to hear from Big Crit again. So that's, again, that's Big Crit, Pick Up the Pace. And then the last single I have is K Camp featuring PNB Rock. I really don't know if I like this song or I hate this song. Like, I'm really on the fence. Like, I either really like this or I really hate it. Because PNB Rock, he flipped the differences, Genuine sample to My Whole Life Has Changed. And I don't know if I like that. You know what I mean? Some things is just like, I don't know if I want you to touch that. But I've been listening to a lot of producers online, a lot watching their cookups and them talking about, it's crazy to see the music that we grew up on is now considered like the classics, the things that people are sampling. And now we can kind of identify with our parents and our generation was like, why are y'all touching that? Why are y'all sampling this all? Like, y'all should have left that alone. And it's like, you should have left like that. That's Genuine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you should have touched that, but I don't know if I really like it because I love the original song or if I really hate it because I don't like PNB Rock. I'm really on the fence. K Camp is good, consistent. His Kiss album last year was one of the best. So I don't have any critiques on that. But if you want to check it out, let me know. Let us know in the comments. Let us know what y'all think. Do y'all hate or like that song? Because I'm kind of on the fence on that.
Yeah, I wanted to hear that too. Yeah, some things you just shit. Yeah. You just shit. Okay, I'm going to try to say this album. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead. You say this album.
La Machina.
What is it?
La Machina. It's machine La in Machina. Spanish, I think.
You got to roll it. You got to, ain't nothing roll in there.
There ain't no R's in there. There ain't nothing to roll in there, dog.
You know, I was outside yesterday, real quick, and Bachata, like, I just thought it was funny how, like, the dude said it, and I was just like, you know, I bet he really know how, and then somebody else was like, oh, what you know about Bachata? It was a black dude. I was like, bro, you don't know how to actually dance that shit, because you can't actually even say it properly. Like,
you, I can tell by how you say it. Yo,
my man from Puerto Rico right here, he know how to Bachata. Like, you know, he say it different than we say it. Like,
yeah. So,
all right, but yeah, man. Let's get into this Conway the Machine. So you sent something to the group chat that was kind of bold, basically saying, like, you know, Conway the best out here. And I thought it was kind of bold, especially because of how Benny been doing it. But it's a little, it's hard to argue. Like, it's so good on both levels, whether you want Conway or Benny, that it really is just preference. Whatever you like a little bit more. Obviously, we know that Benny is a little bit more digestible to the average fan. Conway bars come at you really fast. So you really gotta listen to it. But it's nonstop. It's nonstop. And this album is to me, I think, probably one of the best that I've heard from him in the last, like, year. And that's saying a lot compared to some of the other albums that he had. The Pray for Paris, was it, right?
No, that was West Side.
That was West Side, excuse me.
Yeah, his was From King to a God.
From King to a God, yeah. They got so much. But, like, but so this is, to say that this is one of the best from Griselda as a whole that I've heard in a while, it's shocking. It's shocking. But every single song is hitting. And it's crazy because it's 11 songs, 41 minutes, but the first half of it, it felt like he was just kind of like, I'm going to just do this by myself. He had one feature within those first five songs. And then the second half, he just like, all right, call it the gang. Like let's get it. And when you rapping with somebody from Griselda, you raise your rap. Like, you know what I mean? You raise the level of rap that you want to. So you hear artists like 2 Chainz and Ludacris is on the song, and Westside Gunn is on. Like, it just gets crazy because they are actual lyricists. Like, you might say what you want about 2 Chainz, but he actually can rap. And he actually is a lyricist. So when you hear him on a song with somebody else, you would think he might get washed, but he's actually raising his ability. Like, he's raising up to the challenge. And a lot of people do that. Well, we talk about that with Drake. That's what you're supposed to do with Drake. And when right now, obviously, if you're on a song with Griselda, that's what you need to do. You have to do that. So shout out to them, everybody that was on that second half of the album. But again, it's like the first half is kind of all by himself. The second half is feature after feature after feature after feature after feature. And they all smack, and everybody is rapping their ass off, and it's unbelievably good product. Like, it's funny because you can listen to it in every song, you just like, damn, duh, he don't take no breaks on this one. Like, there's not one that you could throw away and say that this one ain't that good or this one ain't to the level of the next one. Every one is like at a 9 or 10. 9, 10, 9, 10, 9, 10, just way throughout the album. So the consistency of this album is incredible. The length of this album is credible because, you know, I like 11, you know, 11 songs, 41 minutes is right up my alleyway. The features are incredible. There's, as far as rap goes, it's the best rap album of the year so far, without question. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, and I think I said this last year when we break it down. I think it's from a King to a God when I mentioned his deluxe album. And I said that I'm choosing Conway as my favorite. Whereas though Benny might be the star, Westside is more. And he actually said this, which is just attributes how smart he is. He said the perception is Benny is the star of the group. Westside is the mastermind behind everything as far as strategy. But I'm the craziest with the bar. I think he said I'm the silliest with the bars. Like, let's just put that out there. Y'all can think this, like, he's the mastermind, he's the star, but you come to me for the bars. And it's so true because every song is just, you know, he about to spaz out. And he actually is doing this and he's addressing everything to the point where last year, once he started his own company, Drumwork, which most of these features are his artists. So that's why I think that it was genius for him to really highlight and put his artists on the platform to show, like, anybody standing with me, they got bars too. To the point where I'm listening to his artist, I'm like, damn, like, who this? And it's like, I'm doing my research. It's like, oh, bet, that's his artist. Who is this? Oh, that's his artist too. Oh, he really got a good ear. Like, he really is nice with this. So it's not just Westside being a mastermind. He could be a businessman too. And he addressed that on the song. It's like, because I'm doing something by myself, I think I got beef with my brothers. Like, yo, they are really family. Like, this is not no industry stuff. Like, they're legit family. So he's like, he said, y'all think I got beef with my brothers. So everything that we do, we got to eat with each other. Like, I can't do something by myself. You know what I'm saying? And not be beef. Like, nah, bro, I'm just being a businessman. I'm starting my own thing. And to see him do so, to see this not just being a Griselda drop, this being a Griselda slash Drumwork drop, just showing the entrepreneurial spirit. And I think although Benny might be the star, his sound might be the most digestible. I think Conway has the more modern flow. Whereas though, when you listen to a Benny project, his flow is a little dated. And I think that's where the appeal is because it's like, damn, I miss rap like this. Whereas though, Conway, he can give you the dated flow. He can give you a modern flow. He can give you an unorthodox flow. He can give you a dark one. And it's like, he's so versatile when it comes to just the overall product. Conway is the best, man. And I think he proved it. We only 4 months in a year, and this is his second album of the year, and he still didn't release like his masterpiece that he's been working on for years. So it's like when we talked about Benny, where it was like we were a little bit disappointed with that project because his trajectory just seemed to be going up and up, and that was kind of like it wasn't bad by any means, but it just didn't further progress. I feel like every time I hear Conway, he just gets better and better, and he just keeps pushing the envelope, and that's why I think I got to give him the nod, and this was no different. This is an amazing project.
Yeah, I'm sold. I'm sold that he's the best in Griselda without question. Again, I may enjoy listening to Benny a little bit more. I might be able to play a Benny song like at a party. So where Conway, I wouldn't be able to. But if I was somewhere chilling, you know, kind of like a kickback, I'd be able to actually play like a Benny song. So that's why the appeal is there. But as far as Conway being able to rap, yeah, I would go as far to say I don't know how many people can stand in the same ring as him. Like, even though I said that the people that was on there didn't, all of them didn't get washed, it was still a clean sweep. It was still an obvious win on Conway part. So it's tough, man. I mean, it really is. I was actually talking about this last night. Now you need people to say that you the GOAT, right? Like, you need people to say, you can't say you the GOAT. Like, we can't say this is the best podcast that's out right now. Like, we don't have the ability to say that. Just same with, like, you can't be the best receiver unless people acknowledge you as the best receiver. So I can't put him as like, oh, he's the number one rapper. I can't in my personal book. But as he doesn't have the appeal to be a Drake, right? He doesn't sell enough. He doesn't have the star factor. But rappers like him, like people like In Griselda, like many of them, they will forever have a high standard, like a high place on a pedestal for me, because the rapping ability is there. And so, you got to be able to appreciate it.
Yeah, and he did on a first track, he did refer to himself as the GOAT, but he said, I'm not the greatest all the time, but I'm definitely the grimiest all the time. It's like, even that flip is like, come on, dog. Like, that's how we started off the project. Like, I like
when the side of your mouth is crazy.
when half your face is paralyzed and you still consider one of the best rappers? Come on, man.
Rapping out the side of your mouth is crazy. I couldn't even imagine. Man. All right, man. You got another album?
Too real for the streets. Nah, it was an album that dropped. I just want to highlight it a little bit because it is projected to sell, I think, between 120 and 140,000 copies first week. The Slime Language 2 by Young Thug and his label, YSL, yeah. Youngstone the Life. Again, not my cup of tea, not my flavor, not my twist. But to see, just speaking to being an entrepreneur, seeing him put on his label and then seeing all the features he was able to grab, seeing the connections he was able to pull in and drop a project that's, I think it's projected to go number one. I got to double check, but it is definitely projected to do between 120 to 140,000 open a week. That's impressive in today's age. So just at least for that, I want to highlight it. As far as listening to it, even the Drake song, I'm not revisiting. Like, I'm not going to listen to it, but it says a lot and it says a lot for the culture, like where you stand when you can drop a compilation project and do those type of numbers. So shout out to them for that.
I heard it.
Yeah, and
I heard it. It's about where it starts to end. I heard it.
All I know is my dog dropped next week, so that's all that care. Thankful, Moneybagg Yo, man.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, Moneybagg Yo dropped next week, so I'm happy. I got Conway out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It ain't really been too. It's been kind of quiet, so my dog drops, so we get to see what it's hitting for.
Hopefully, I'll have more to say than I heard it. We'll see.
Oh, man.
Well, let's get into, I guess, the most important topic of the day. Most important topic of the last couple weeks, really. Do you want to go? You want to introduce?
Yeah, so it's been a lot going on, especially just the current climate right now is just very controversial. It's been very heated. It's been very combative just with the recent interactions between different people in a Black community and either authority figures or people that wear the uniform, whether that be police officers or members of the military. And it started off with the stage being set with the Derek Chauvin trial of George Floyd murder last year, that being publicly televised and that being front page news every single day for the past like 3 or 4 weeks. And then there was another shooting in Minneapolis, I believe, of Dante Wright, where an officer mistakenly shot him. The officer thought that she was aiming a taser at him, but she actually had a gun, shot him one time and actually killed him. Since then, protests have erupted. There was an army lieutenant by the name of Karan Nazario, who was pulled over during a routine stop, guns pointed at him, and he was pepper sprayed and just violated on so many different levels. And there was also a viral video with an army sergeant by the name of Jonathan Pentland in South Carolina, who was seen harassing a young Black man, telling him he was in the wrong neighborhood and he needed to get out. And it just further shows just where we are as a nation, but it just further shows how it's more of the same. It felt like just last year, we was on here having these same conversations with Ahmaud Arbery, talking about Breonna Taylor, talking about George Floyd. And it's just another day, another situation like this seems to go viral. And I don't know, we thought that it would be good to discuss it, just give our thoughts on it, just because it is a very, I don't know. You tell me how you feel, bro, because I don't want to get too far into
it. A lot, man. It really is a lot, and it gives me a lot of different feelings. But let's start with Dante Wright. Like, rest in peace, Dante Wright. Somebody died, so let's acknowledge that first. And you know, it's obviously a tragedy. But I want to talk a little bit about how I feel about this as far as a court case, maybe. As far as like what's justice, right? Because we always got to have to ask that question. Like, people want something to happen. I don't know what exactly that is. We don't have enough unity, if you would, to just have a spokesperson say, like, and surprisingly, all the people that we usually hear from kind of keeping their hands off of this one, which is shocking. So I'm not going to call out any names because I respect what those people and I respect what they do, but we just haven't heard those people talking about this one, which is a little bit shocking. Reason why I think it's shocking because this is not the first time that this has happened. So if you just go to Google, this is what I did a couple of days ago just to kind of prepare for the pod. I went ahead and searched on Google, like how many times have cops killed people accidentally, you know, with the taser. At least 15. That's the best number that he come up with. It's hard to actually determine that. But at least 15 cops have killed or shot somebody. Sometimes some of those people did not die. There was actually 3 deaths out of those 15 cops. And ironically, those 3 deaths, those 3 were convicted. So the other 12 did not get convicted. So there's precedent set. Like as far as legal argument is set, it's kind of clear. And the crazy thing about it is this is recent. It was 6 years ago was the last time a cop actually killed somebody and their argument was claiming, hey, I thought it was a taser. That man is in jail. So you can say what you want. A lot of these times, like we watching Derek Chauvin. Chauvin. We watching his trial right now happening. I think we're going to be seeing a trial very shortly. Not very shortly, but within the next year, I'm thinking we're going to see another trial with this because there's precedent set, and that's how if you watch the legal system, this is how it works. They have to have something that similar happen. Excuse me. And once that's set. It's kind of set in stone. Now, that doesn't mean that she will absolutely go to jail. Like the prosecutors will still have to charge her for this. And then we start start a race, and we'll see what happens after that. But if charges are brought, it wouldn't look good for her. Now she did resign. The police chief resigned as well. And I think that's probably the best case scenario. It's really hard for me to. It's just a tough one, man. And hear me out for everybody that's listening. We're just talking through this. I have a few points that I want to make, but we're really just me and King are really just going to be talking about this through this about how we feel about it because it's so weird. I don't know what I want to happen as far as me. I don't know what I want to happen. To me, it has to be prison or something like that, or at least it has to have some type of consequence, right? Because you can't just be like, oops, I killed somebody. Like, regardless of race, you just can't be like, oops. Like, especially when you've held a taser before and you held a Glock. Like, those 2 different things. And so even though we're saying like 15 officers, it's happened before, that's a small amount. Like, it's very, very rare that this happened. But the rare times that people have died, those people went to prison. The cops went to prison for that. That's not a mistake that you can just make and just go on about your day and just like, you know, go ahead and because she resigned, but really she retired. She was working for 26 years. She got her pension. Like, so she retired. She could have retired the day before and nothing would have happened. It would have been the same thing. So retiring the day after you kill somebody seems crazy. So it feels very, very weird to me. And I know that it won't bring him back to make her, you know, do jail time or community service or anything like that. But at least you set an example, right? At least you set it like this. We can't be allowing this to happen. Like, this is the no-no to the entire nation. Like, Minnesota has a good chance right now to set that and say, hey, nobody, this is silly. This is foolishness. And in any other job field, you... firing would be the least thing that like you can't, if you was flying a plane and the pilot just jumped out and let the plane die, like that dude would be in prison. If a doctor kills somebody, that's malpractice, right? Like there's so many different ways that it's applicable to other career fields, but then we look at cops and it's not applicable to them. And I don't understand that. Like malpractice is a thing, like fucking up at your job, just doing things like this, brutalizing black people. Like we're going to talk about it all, but for this case in particular, it feels really odd for me to like say prison, but I think it might have to happen. You know what I mean? I think it's probably the best case scenario for everybody involved because, again, we can't just keep doing these slap on the wrist. You can't just lose your job but still get your pension. Like, we need to start talking about like the pension or the unions or things like that. Like, we need some type of reform at some point, because we need to start looking at the training. I don't know. It's so many questions, so many feelings that I got about this. But overall, I feel like prison will probably be the best for everybody involved.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I'm going to start off with a quote that I found that I just thought was so applicable. It's from a Danish quantum mechanic. And he said, "The opposite of a shallow truth is false, but the opposite of a deep truth is also true." And you might have heard Charlemagne the God say it as two things can be true at the same time. And it's very much true. And these are the type of situations that really divide us, because each side kind of has a point to where if you believe that the cop was wrong and they're responsible for Dante Wright dying, like that was a senseless murder, like when he didn't have to die, you're correct. If you are somebody saying like all that could have been avoided if he would have just been compliant and been arrested because he had an outstanding warrant, technically you're correct. And those two things could be true at the same time. It doesn't mean like if I say that, then I agree that that wasn't a senseless shooting, or if I say that it was a senseless shooting, I don't agree that he did escalate the situation unnecessarily, you know, and that's what makes these situations so complicated. But I think that our sentiment, or the growing sentiment in our community of something needs to happen, I think is just, we need validation that a Black life is worth something. And far too many times we see Black people killed and it's so accessible. I can search right now, even just doing research and just looking up videos on YouTube. I saw so many Black people get killed. So many videos out there of just Black people getting shot, killed, whether it be accidents, whether it be justified. Like even just scrolling through Facebook, I saw a dude being, he was handcuffed to his bed, but because he had a gun on him and they failed to search him, he got like him reaching, like going in his pockets, whatever. They shot him and killed him while he was handcuffed to a hospital bed. And it's like, I feel like it's kind of like a modern day lynching. And I don't say that lightly. It's just modern day. It's like you see so many Black people get killed and you don't see any consequences for it. And always the way that it's justified by, you know, well, they should have did this, or they should have complied, or they shouldn't have done this, or they shouldn't have been running in this neighborhood, or they should have just did what the officer said. And we'll talk about this with the other cases. It's like, it's a spectrum. Not all the cases are different. All of them have varying circumstances. But at a certain point, when I'm seeing Black person after Black person after Black person get killed to the point where I'm numb of it, to the point where it's like, bro, we just had this conversation. We just had 3 or 4 episodes about this. And it's happening again. It's starting to make you think, this is why the slogan Black Lives Matter arose. Whether you agree or disagree with their political movement, the statement and the sentiment is, I'm tired of seeing my brothers and sisters get killed with no repercussions, as if our lives don't matter. As if it's okay to parade around a dead Black person on TV for ratings, but nobody cares, or when the officer doesn't get tried, or if they don't get their pension taken away, or they don't get put in jail. So I think for this, you said it perfectly. It is a mistake, but it isn't one that should go unpunished. I don't think that she should get the electric chair. I don't think she should spend the rest of her life in prison, but there should be consequences for you killing somebody unnecessarily, you know, however justified you may feel in that moment. But I think that where this does get complicated, and I learned this with just following and watching the Derek Chauvin trial, it'll be very difficult depending on what exactly they charge it with. Because when dealing with social media, when dealing with, you know, marching and doing what's right, right is right, wrong is wrong, and is a very clear cut line depending on what you believe. But when you get into that court system, you have to prove, I mean, down to the letter, down to the word, everything that's breaking that law, to the point where I believe Derek Chauvin's trial or defense team doesn't even have to prove that he didn't contribute to George Floyd's death. They have to prove that he didn't assault him, because all of the charges are linked to Derek Chauvin assaulting George Floyd. But if he didn't technically assault George Floyd, then all the charges won't stick and then he'll be found not guilty. So this is where we need to become more educated. We need to become more organized, like Kevo said, and really stand on and say, we want this to happen for this reason. And if there is a precedent, that needs to be the narrative rather than just us turning on the news and seeing another black man get killed.
Where's the NAACP and all this, bro? Like, here's my thing. Yeah, hear me out. Cause I know that they've been a joke for a while now, but they were huge in the civil rights era. Like the civil rights movement, like they were just they were an organization that everybody would look to. Like, why, what happened? You know what I mean? Like, why do we not have that anymore? And if we don't, what is the NAACP doing? Like, what are they? Do you know? I don't know. I have no idea what they do. Where are all the civil rights leaders of today? Like, I hate having to call people like that out because the job that they do isn't easy. What they do, I don't have it in me. I can't do it. I can't give my life to that. But it's looking shaky. Like, we need somebody, bro. Like, we need somebody that's educated in these type of things. We need somebody that can point at least all this effort, all this anger, point it in the right direction. We just run out here running around, it feels like. Like, just, it happens every time. I'm sick of it. I'm just tired of it, man. So, where do we go from here? That's the next question, right? Like, what do we do now? I think we push for reform, but I don't know how, right? We do something, but we push for reform. But I don't even know how to go about doing that. But what I do know is that all I can do is use my platform to say this. That's my best guess, right? I'm not educated in this in any standpoint. Like, I know that somebody, that cops killing people obviously is bad. And I've heard every argument. I've heard well, they shouldn't have been doing this. I've heard, they kill black people at a lower rate than white people. I've heard it all. My argument to any of that is cops killing anybody is one too many. It's just obvious. Like, it's one too many. If you look around the other countries, this doesn't happen at the frequency it does in America. There's something wrong. Something isn't happening the way it should be. Whether that be training, whether they need more money or less money, if you want to defund or not defund, I don't know. But something ain't happening right, because anybody dying to a cop seems to be a little bit unfair. Now, you can say there's cases where somebody is armed, but these unarmed killings, we gotta figure something out about them. It's really starting to irritate me to the point where I can't even formulate a thought of a feeling, because I feel so numb to it. I feel so numb to black people dying, because, like you said, you could just go on YouTube and find endless amounts of clips of it. And something's wrong with that. Something is creepy about that. Like, something is very eerie about the fact that we can just look that up and just watch a bunch of them, but then we don't see the trials where people are getting punished for it. Like, is murder okay in America? As long as it's a black person? Because it's starting to look like that. We just talked about the legal system, judicial system, where I said, like, a precedence is set. There's kind of a precedent. Like, it's kind of like, what do you want me to say? Like, is how can I say that it's not illegal at this point? It's illegal if I kill King, but if a cop kill King, I'm not sure if it's illegal at all. I'm just not sure at this point. How can I be? I mean, you look at the deaths to prosecution ratio, and it's off. It's definitely not equal. And you can look at any decade in America's history. It's definitely not equal. So I don't know, man. I'm really sick of seeing this, man. I'm really sick of having these conversations. But the more we do, the more I look at people that think that this is not an issue as goofies. You know what I mean? Like, I really look at people that's like, oh, trying to argue the opposite of, well, this and that, well, this and that. This is goofy at this point, bro. This is not an isolated incident. Like, it's goofy to think that it is, and you sound silly trying to justify it. Like, stop it, man. Just cut it out. I'm sick.
Yeah, and just to to go back to the point that you make about, like, what do we do? You know, this is where politics comes in. It's not just us getting politically active when we hate Trump, or politically active when we're told to do so. You know what I mean? It's about the boring stuff. Like last year, and again, depending on what team you play for, if you, you know, fall within party lines and he's like, I'm just a Democrat, I don't support Republicans, or vice versa. There was a Republican-backed, what is it called? The Justice Act that was proposed last year, last summer, I believe it was during July, that called, or during June, that called for a police database for these type of situations. Because I think the only database to check to see how many cops are killing people, I think that's ran by like the Washington Post by independent research. This called for a federal database to actually store and be transparent about all these interactions, all these deaths. And so we can look up and that be a part of the hiring process. So you can see a cop with a bad track record and then make sure that they don't continue that career and they don't get fired and then work for another state or work for another county. It did call for grants and retraining programs and de-escalation. And it did call for things like banning chokeholds and all of that stuff and grant programs to make sure that cops are wearing their body cameras. So reform is out there. The blueprint is out there. And even looking at qualified immunity and adjusting qualified immunity, because like you mentioned before, like the whole thing is there needs to be precedent for something to happen. That's because of qualified immunity, because cops operate within a certain jurisdiction. They don't want just any old citizen suing them because they don't like how they were treated, which can often be bad, but they are often given too much leeway when they can just do as much as they can. And as long as nobody else did it before them, they kind of wipe their hands clean with it. Whereas though a regular citizen, like you stated, is held to a higher standard. So I think modifying the rules of qualified immunity and looking at police reform as far as making it more transparent to where we can see and track how these incidents are happening so we can really look at the data and make decisions and back that up for real change. So I think that's something that we can do. And that's something, it may not be as cool or it may not be the most things that's going to get ratings on media, but I think that's how we make a real change.
Yeah, man. I think because we've talked about this so much and I'm just ready to move on from it right now. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about Jonathan Pentland is his name.
Yeah.
The Army Sergeant that stopped it. So this one is weird as well. Because this one lacks a lot of context. Like I don't know what was happening. It's been proven that the man in the video is not a minor. He is an adult. He does look extremely young, which was the first thing that kind of like yo, that might be somebody's child. Like in cases like that, you would think that people would be cautious about it, right? Like that looked like a young man. Like even I don't know his exact age, but he can't be above 25. Like that looked like a young man. So putting your hands on somebody that might be a child for all you know, again, is silly. And I don't know if he's a racist, if Jonathan is a racist, but I know that if that's a white person that looked that young, he wouldn't have did the same thing. Like, I know that to be true. And that's an issue, right? That's one of those like biases that we got to deal with, because the reason why stuff like that is scary when you think about it is because that man's in the military. And clearly he's been in the military for a while. Like he's some type of a sergeant somewhere. Like, right. Like he's an important person in some organization in the Army. That can affect me. I mean, I'm in the Air Force. Like I'm sure people like that exist in the Air Force as well, with those type of biases in their head. Because again, this would not be having this conversation if a white dude was just walking through that neighborhood. He said all the right things that made me think that he was a racist. I just don't really want to go that far because it lacks context. But this is a tight-knit community. You're in the wrong neighborhood. What are you doing out here? He didn't owe him any explanation. Like, I can't see a reason why that he would owe him an explanation. He said he lived there. He doesn't have to tell you his address. Nobody, people think that black people have to tell them what they're doing to make you feel more safe or secure. I don't have to tell you anything. I shouldn't even have to be talking to you right now. Like, this is not a conversation that I need to, I don't have to justify your scaredness of me. Like, I'm just walking through this neighborhood, like, regardless. regardless of what you think, I'm still going to be walking through this neighborhood. I have been doing nothing wrong. I don't have to explain shit to you. It's so frustrating to watch these type of videos because it's like, that's it. It's so simple. I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you any type of explanation about where I'm going, my whereabouts, what I'm doing. I don't owe you anything. If you're scared, then you call the cops. You do whatever you want. Like, that's on you. But as soon as you come over here and put your hands on me, I'll be at your neck. Like, and you can judge however you want about the reaction to it as far as them coming to his house. But I like that. I do. I like that. Like, you said we a tight-knit community. Well, let me show you about my tight-knit community. And you put your hands on one of ours, we at your neck about it. Right? Like, that's at this point, that's how we need to be. We need that unity. Like, we need that. We need people to, like, come help me, dog. Like, that man, if they got into a fight, that man would have got his ass beat. Easily. That man was huge. He was towering over him. Right? So, that makes me uncomfortable thinking about that. It makes me uncomfortable thinking that that man had to go through that. Because in that scenario, he probably was scared. Like, he had no, all he could do was just kind of talk banter back and forth with him. Like, so when a crowd of people come at his house and say, like, yo, like, you a tight-knit community? We are too. We here too. And you're not going to treat one of ours this way. And his wife recording it and putting it out on the internet, I don't know what she thought was going to happen. Like, it's just shocking, bro. It's shocking that the treatment of black people in America these days, like, it's just like, we should be past this, man. We really should. Man, this shit is frustrating, bro. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, and it's kind of it's crazy. Have you seen the series Them?
Oh, no, I'm gonna start it though. I heard my OG Sergeant Profi sent me that.
Yeah, so in there, it makes a reference to the racial, what was going on when there was like a mass migration from black people from the South out to California, just in search for better jobs and better treatment. And there was a point, without giving any spoilers, where the neighborhood that the black couple moved in was overtly racist, to the point where they would sit outside and play music at all hours of the night. They would hang up, you know, dolls of like black people hanged and like burning like the N-word into the grass. Like, it's that, like, that was a reality for a long time. And then I think that was based in like the 50s. So you think like that was just what, two generations ago? Like, that was the reality for some black people in America. And where it gets tricky is like that, because it isn't that overt anymore, it's kind of hard to get the same reaction. It's hard to get the same support. It's hard to get the same amount of unity. Because when you experience something that overt, that direct, and that racist, it's easy for a community to come together. And that show does a good job of kind of highlighting, like, we need to stick together to overcome these type of things. Because the quote-unquote racists, or those people that hate us, they're together in their hate for us. We need to be together in our fight for freedom, and our fight for justice, and our fight for equality. And because the racism is so hidden, it's so subtle. It's the little things. It's the, you know, saying stuff like, boy, are you in the wrong neighborhood? Or stuff like that, just the subtle hints at things. It's kind of hard to say, yo, he is a racist. And sometimes it's done unjustly. He could just be a bully and just see somebody that's smaller than him, no matter what his color is. And he just going, you know, he got that small man syndrome or whatever. So because of that, we still, like you said, have to come together as a community. But we have to do so with a purpose. Like, I do like the pull up. I like the pull up, and I like the demonstration. If we all saw the Malcolm X movie, I'm sorry to quote so many movies, but when they locked up the brother unjustly and they marched down with a bunch of Muslims, like, in single file line, it's like, look, we out here and we not going nowhere until you let our man go. And we'll be out here every day until he come home. And it's like, you kind of force their hand. It's like, yo, we have power too, because there is power in unity. So you have to show that, but to a point, you don't want it to become mob rule. You don't want to come to a point where it's like, yeah, we got a lot of people angry, and let's just tear shit up and let's burn something down. And yeah, you will have to acquiesce. That's not the right way. I respect pulling up and like, yo, we're not going to take that by all means, but let's get to a point where it never gets to that situation. Like I said last year, like, we got to take care of one another. because a lot of these situations happen when we by ourselves, when we in the wrong, quote unquote, wrong community, when we're in these places where we are not welcome. Let's step in and help out our brothers, and let's step in and make sure they don't get caught up in these situations so we don't have to pull up in the aftermath. Luckily, he got out of this alive. Luckily, this wasn't escalated, but it could have been, as we've seen in a lot of other interactions. So let's just try to stick together and come together to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Charlamagne said it best. This gave me real Trayvon Martin feels. Like, that's scary. That's scary. And it's not fair to us that we have to have that type of mindset, that we every time we see a situation like this, we think about another black person dying. And it's not fair. It's not fair that I have to worry about, you know, where I'm going and who I'm going with. Did I tell somebody that I'm going somewhere? It's not fair. It's not fair to be that black people are, some black people are scared of cops, right? Like LeBron said that years ago, and you and even I criticized him a little bit before. But when you think about it, it's becoming truer every day. Like, it's being proven every day. Like, I haven't been pulled over by a cop in years. Like, I can't remember the last time I was pulled over by a cop. And if I'm being honest, most of my interactions with cop, even as a children, were positive interactions. They weren't. Obviously, I'm still here today, right? So it didn't have to escalate. But you see these situations, and especially like with the Army lieutenant, where it just seems to be getting escalated from the start, right? Like, these situations with like, it just feels, now we don't have the whole context, we weren't there with either one of these situations, but it just feels like it's being so escalated so high where it could just be like, why are we not just talking like human beings? Like, this could all be so simple. This could all be avoided. Like, why did he have to come at his neck like that outside of his house? Like, even if he was outside, even if he was lingering on the corner or something like that, and somebody did, like, allegedly somebody asked him to check on it because they were nervous, which is a thing that's weird anyway. Like, I don't know what's making you nervous about a black dude walking around in broad daylight. Like, I don't, it's kind of weird, but, why wouldn't he just walk outside and just ask him, like, yo, you live around here? Yeah. Okay. Like, that's it. That could be it. Like, now, again, he doesn't owe you any explanation. He doesn't have to tell you where he's going or what he's doing. But if that's what, if somebody, maybe if you explain that to him, like, hey, some people just, you know, they're nervous. Obviously, that's weird. That's a weird statement to make. But, hey, some people are nervous. Like, you know, you live around here, right? Like, something simple, right? And even in this situation with the Army lieutenant, like, as soon as the video picks up, like, I don't know why he had to get out the car. Now, if he was asked to get out the car, should he have? Probably. Yeah, probably. But it just got so intense from that point on. It just goes fast when it seems like it's black people. But we seen the other day, a dude over a mask, a 61-year-old man, drove off, hit a cop with a hammer in the head. No guns were pulled, no tasers, no deadly force, nothing like that was happening. And you could say, well, that's a different city, different topic, different person. And it is. It's a bunch of different things. But the problem that I have is that it just feels that when it's a black person, these situations escalate very, very fast. The treatment is my issue with it. The treatment feels like it's a little bit more than it needs to be. And again, I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of feeling this way. It's unfair, but at this point, this is reality, and we're gonna have to figure something out to change this reality.
Yeah, and I'm glad you kind of made that point, because we also don't want to get caught in that trap, because all these. Granted, it does seem like we see video after video after video and case after case after case. But when put in a proper context, it kind of exposes the media as some of the culprits. Because if you think about it, it is almost 330 people in this country, you know, and about 42 million black people in this country. So to see these type of interactions, you know, one here, one there, one here, one there, it seems like a lot, because that's how the media portrays it, and they amplify it and they make it seem like, look, it happened three times in the past couple months. It's an epidemic. Like, it's a big thing. The whole system is racist. Whereas, though, maybe it's just that cop. Maybe it's just those people are bad. Maybe it's just that city is bad. that doesn't represent everybody. To the point where you said, like, personally, from your experience, you didn't have these type of interactions with cops. I could say the same thing for me. I could say the same thing for a lot of people. Not to discount the tragedies that happen with these interactions or the injustices and the racism that happens and just the inability for them to do their job correctly. To whereas though I don't think that that person should be a cop because that exists. But I'm also not going to fall into the trap to say like, this is an overwhelming concern to where it's threatening my people. Because if we just take a step back and look where we've come in the past couple of generations, it is a lot better. It isn't perfect. We still got some far to go, but let's not let the media trick us into doing something crazy. Let's not let the media trick us to believe in our response should be to burn something down in a riot, in the loot when an injustice happens. Let's not let the media trick us to believe that that's what our response should be, because I'm starting to feel like that's something that they are doing consciously, because there's no reason for all of these videos to be going viral this way and for it to be on every single news source. It shouldn't be to the point where I'm looking on YouTube and I see this many black people getting killed, where if you look at the data, there are far more white people getting killed and shot by cops. That footage is out there. But it's not being projected and it's not being broadcasted with the same veracity and the same likelihood as it is for black people. And I'm starting to feel like that is being done intentionally. And I don't like that. And I need to be conscious and not let that interfere with me and turn me into the same beast that I'm fighting against. Turn me into the same person that I'm trying to fight against. And I'm trying to say that we need to get rid of that mentality. Because what I'm starting to see is a lot of people taking on the traits of their quote unquote oppressors and justifying it by saying, well, look, it happened over here. So I need to do that because that's what people in power do. So I just say this with a side of caution. I understand, I respect and I support anybody calling for police reform, anybody calling out the injustices that you see. But please do not fall into the trap, because it is a trap that the media is propagating with just showing all of this. And if you can't see that, just look a little deeper and you can see it.
Yeah. And like you said, two things could be true. That's actually, those are great points. Those are great points. And like you said, two things could be true, right? So it could be, it is an issue, right? It obviously is a problem that we need to, react to. But maybe it's not as big as the media is making it seem. So I can respect that. Yeah, that's about it, man. That's about it. I'm sick of it, man. Feeling sick.
Yeah, man. Somebody need to put some hands on Jake Parks. I'm about tired of him.
Bro, ever since he beat up Nate Robinson, bro, it's been down here for black people, bro. He set us back. He set us back, bro. He set us back. Somebody need to go get him, bro. Where's John Jones at, bro? Go get you a line of coke and knock that man out, man. go and hit you that line of coke real quick. Ain't nobody gonna judge you, man. Go and get your boogie sugar. Man.
This is what we need. This is what we need you for. We need one for the coke.
This is it. Where you at? Like, this is it. This is it, bro. You ain't fighting.
You ain't fighting 2 years, though.
Yeah, bro. You ain't fighting, bro. Come on. Damn, man. Fuck him. It's funny because it...
The old people die. The old people. He ain't do your hypothetical. He ain't pull up with your hypothetical situation. And it went from we need you to fuck him in less than 15 seconds, dude. You was just talking about unity. You was just talking about unity.
It really do be your I made that whole scenario up in my head and got mad about it. that's fucking crazy.
It's literally impossible for him to hear this right now. You went from 0 to 100 so fast, dog.
Oh shit, man. Yeah, let's get to these positive shouts, man. I got a pretty short one today. My positive shout is going to Charlamagne the God, and I know he's actually been on. We've kind of shout out the Breakfast Club. We shout out a bunch of things, but Charlamagne the God has a really funny way of making these topics very palatable for the average people, like the average person, right? Somebody that doesn't look at legal stuff, who doesn't look at who doesn't do the research. He has a really good way. Now, he may be a little bit of an extremist in some cases, right? But he does have a good job of explaining things, and he always has a good quote to go with it, or a good research behind his topics. If you look at his donkey of the day in the last, like, you know, 10 days, if you would, his ones on these topics, these last three topics that we've been talking about, have been very, like, thought-provoking, like, surprisingly thought-provoking for a donkey of the day segment, which is something that you would think is just some kind of funny, goofy type of thing. But he does a good job of explaining it in a way that you can actually understand why a black person would be feeling the way that they are. So if you haven't heard of those, then I recommend you go listen to them, because, again, I feel I'm good with kind of conveying my words. Charlamagne is a master at this. He's been doing this a long time. And like it, love it, or hate it, you're going to feel some type of way. You're going to feel some type of way when you listen to Charlamagne speak about these topics, because he does it so well. He articulates his words so well. And again, he stays with a quote that comes out of, like, you even mentioned one earlier, without even me even telling you that I wanted to mention Charlamagne. You actually mentioned one earlier. It always feels right on the money. It always feels like he's passionate about what he's saying. And that's, for him to be doing this for so long and to still seem like he's getting better to me, I gotta envy that. Like, I got a round of applause to him. So shout out to Charlamagne the God, man. He's been doing it a long time, and he's legitimately the master of his craft. He's somebody that I would look up to as far as podcasting goes. So shout out to Charlamagne.
For real, bro. He continues to set the bar and then continues to raise it. So shout out to him. And it's kind of funny that you made a joke referencing John Jones, because my positivity shout out is to a UFC star, the new heavyweight champion, Francis Ngannou. And for those who don't know, his story is straight out of a movie, or straight out of a story, or like a book, because he grew up in a poor country of Cameroon, where I think like the income of his village was like $1,300 a year. He grew up in a very abusive household, and he knew that he wanted to do better for himself. And at the age of 10, he started working in the sand mine, like literally shoveling sand with grown men to kind of help with the bills and everything like that. And then after his abusive father passed, he wanted to go away and he wanted to be a fighter, because that was always in him. Like, just being abused, he felt like he needed to be a fighter to, you know, protect the people around him. But he couldn't do that in his country, so he tried to immigrate. And he literally went from country to country. And then for one period of time, he spent a year trying to cross the Sahara Desert. And in that year, he was living off of like food and trash cans, drinking water where it was like had dead animals in it. And he had the mindset of, either I'm going to drink this and probably die, or I'm going to not drink and definitely die. And that was the mentality that he had. And he was explaining it on a podcast with Teddy Atlas. It's like, it's so crazy thinking about the things that I had to do, the dumpsters I had to eat from, and just to think that I made it out healthy. If you would just see the rotten stuff I had to eat out of trash cans for over a year just to get through the Sahara Desert. And every time he tried to immigrate into Europe, he would get thrown back in the desert essentially to die because he couldn't get over there. And then one time he tried to cross into Europe, and he actually cut himself real bad to the point where he had to get caught so they can bring him to the hospital or else he would die. And he got detained in Spain for 2 months. But because he didn't bring any identification, they had to let him go, and they didn't know where to bring, they didn't know where to dump him. So they dumped him in France. So while in France, he was living in a garage for 2 years, and he just went to a gym and was like, look, I don't have no money, I don't have anything, but I want to be a fighter. And the gym took a chance on him, and literally he was living out of a parking garage and sleeping in a parking garage and going to the gym every day, all day. And a couple of fights later, they introduced him to MMA. They got him over to America. He fought in the UFC, and he is now the heavyweight champion of the world in the UFC. And just to see, like, that's the essence of the American dream. That's the essence of black excellence. You know what I mean? And that's true from the motherland. And just to see stuff like that happening, I want to highlight that story, because it's so many of us getting mad and so many of us getting triggered and so many of us getting riled up about things that don't really even affect us. Things that we see, things that aren't directly impacting us. Whereas though, this man literally had to fight for his life every day, literally cross the desert to try to make something better, you know, to try to make something of himself. And the path wasn't easy, but he found a way to get it done. And with everything that we're facing, it is a lot. But if that man can overcome that, we as a community, we as a people can overcome anything. And I think that that was just a great story. And I wanted to highlight that. And his accomplishment, I feel like, is our accomplishment. So shout out to Francis Ngannou.
I ain't gonna lie, that shit was absolutely amazing. Just now, like I was following that, like, bro, this should be a movie. This shit is crazy. God damn, crazy. I had no idea, bro. What a life. Bro. What a life.
Good and Lord. I skipped through a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? That's just the highlights.
Good Lord, man.
That's the highlights, man. That's
I did not know how he made it to my screen to be knocking motherfuckers out, but he sure do be out there. he be on my screen knocking people the fuck out. I know that much. God damn, knowing the backstory makes it that much better. Like, I'm really rooting for a homie now.
For real, man. He's a real one, dog.
I can see why people like that would be mad about. Like, I see you sometimes you can see why people are so mad at Americans because we got everything but complain about everything, right? Mm-hmm. Or we got the talent, but then we fuck it off like John Jones or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's we got everything that we could ever want, but we still complain about everything, right? Like, it's just like the slightest inconvenience, Americans just like, oh my God, I can't even believe this is happening. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like
the line at Starbucks, bro.
Yeah, it's just like a mask. I have to wear a mask in this establishment.
My freedoms.
The freedoms was the privilege, you know? Like, the freedoms was the privilege. Like, the free people don't even have those. People can't even have, people don't even got the amendments. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy how much we like, and like I said, it's all relevant. Like, to forgive you, Zeb, I'm in quarantine right now, and they'll drop off some food every day, and I'll be like, man, this shit is trash. Like, Is it trash? Yeah. Like, yeah. But I should probably just eat it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's just me in my everyday life. You know, I'm never going and giving that type of energy to other people. But, yeah, there's sometimes that shit is less than your standard and you don't want to have to deal with that. But we don't have to complain about everything.
But when you put in perspective, like, how many people would their whole life be changed if somebody just dropped the meal off at their door
every day, right? Like, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy when you think about it. It's crazy. Fuck.
And man, J. Cole said it best. Like, I'm here to take advantage of everything you took for granted. Like, it's sometimes you need somebody outside to see, like, y'all don't even know what y'all missing. Y'all don't understand, like, everything that y'all got at y'all disposal. And I feel like stories like that really put it in perspective. It's like, what am I complaining about? Yeah. This man was living in the desert off of eating out of trash cans. And if you see this man, like, he's a physical specimen. He looks like a bodybuilder that throws hands.
I'd be scared of him. Like, I'd be fucking scared if I seen him.
And this man was eating out of trash cans, drinking from water. Excuse me, that had dead animals in it because that was the only water source and he had to stay alive. Like, bro, okay. You can figure it out. Like, whatever you're going through, you can figure it out.
J. Cole also said that there's no things as a life that's better than yours, and I'm going to say that's cap, because I would not want to be living like that. Like, I would not want to live in that way. I can't imagine living in a city where we only make $1,300 as a collective. Like, I can't, like, there's no way.
A year, bro. $1,300, like the equivalent of $1,300 a year, bro.
Yeah. And also being an NFL or NBA athlete right now don't sound too bad either. So I'm going to go ahead and say that they live in a little bit better than I am. But I'm still happy. But let's cut it out, though. Like, let's cut the bullshit. let's be honest about what's going on here. All right, this is a better life. Some people living a little lavish. It's gotta be some better shit than what I got going on. It can't be this is not the pinnacle of greatness right here, dog.
I'm in my room right now, dog.
Bro, I've been stuck in a room for 14 days. This can't be the best.
It can definitely be better than this. It can definitely get better.
God damn it. Oh man. All right, well. You got any closing statements?
No, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. We apologize for the long delay, but you know, we got some things going on. Like I said, this man is in a whole nother country right now, so bear with us. Korea Kevo is down in full effect, so just bear with us as we try to get back on track. But for those who are tuning in each and every week, every time we drop, every post that we put on social media, we thank you. We appreciate you. We couldn't be here without you, so thank you so much for sticking with us.
And we appreciate you for tuning in. This is the Who Am I Pod. We out.
No such thing in your life that's better than y'all. No such
thing. Yes, now I'm about to have to put that at the end.